Father, we worship you tonight. We give you praise. We glorify your name. We're honored to be in your presence tonight. And Lord, we just invite you to move among us in any manner that you desire. We want you to know that everything is subject to change. Have your way. Touch lives. Heal. Set free. Cause manifestations of your power and your presence to break loose in this place. And we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And give the Lord a good shout. All right. Shake hands with at least 13 people and tell them you love them. All right.
Good to see you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Hallelujah. I said 13 and you went for 15. Praise God. We want to welcome all of the Daystar audience. We appreciate Daystar filming the service tonight or showing it live on their network. So all of you watching by way of Daystar, welcome. And we appreciate Marcus and Joni and the investment they're making in this convention this week. Praise God. Amen. Everybody having a good time? It's been a great, great conference already, hasn't it? Amen. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Oh, listen, before we read, I know I've already done this, but I got to do it again. My wife, Carolyn, please stand. We are celebrating 50 years of marriage. Isn't that great? 50 years of marriage. And it looks like the first couple of rows over there all belong to me, all family members. Praise God. Hallelujah. 50 years of marriage, 47 years of ministry, and the best is yet to come. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 13, I've been sharing in the services that I've been privileged to bring the word in to you about the prophetic word the Lord gave me for 2016. I want to read a portion of it once again. Extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies, and 2016 will come to be known as the year of the great breaking loose. Everybody say, the great breaking loose.
Great breaking loose.
Boy, that is exactly what it has been for me and many others. In fact, I've got some testimonies in here. I probably won't have time to read them, but just from some pastors where I have recently been and preaching this, sending me testimonies after we returned back home of some of the major breakthroughs they've been experiencing because they mixed their faith with it and believe God that this was their time for some major breaking loose. So mix your faith with this tonight, praise God. The Bible says if you refuse to mix faith with it, then it's not going to profit you. So you came tonight, you might as well mix your faith.
Amen.
Amen. You simply do that by saying, I receive this.
I receive.
So say,
I receive
the great breaking loose. In my life, my family, my business, my ministry, my church. And give the Lord a shout in advance. Amen. He went on to say, and during this time of the great breaking loose, the enemy will no longer be able to hold back that which my faithful ones have stood in faith for, not even the things that looked as though they would never come to pass. For I will cause them to break loose and to suddenly manifest, and to do so in such a way that no one will be able to deny the greatness of your God. And boy, I've had that happen. I've had some suddenlies happen this year. Some things that I've been believing for quite some time, and suddenly they came to pass. And I've got testimonies in here of many others who have experienced some suddenlies. So mix your faith with that and say, I'll receive that. Our God is, well, you didn't have to say that part. Our God is capable of making things happen suddenly. You know, one time the prophet said in an impossible looking situation, this time tomorrow. I mean, it was impossible. But he said, this time tomorrow, things are going to be different around here. Amen? I mean, it could be that way for you tonight. This time tomorrow, things could be totally different, praise God. I've gone to bed at times and in the natural, you know, don't have a clue how God's going to do this, but go to bed thanking Him for it, believing Him for it, and wake up the next day and it happened. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't rule out suddenlies. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm believing for suddenlies. Amen. So let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The word loosed here means to be released from confinement. It means the removal of restraints. It means freedom from that which binds. So if you're here tonight and you're confined in some way, and this can be applied spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, if you're confined in some way, or you have restraints in some way, or you are bound in some way, then let's make it very clear that God is not the author of it. Satan is, and Jesus makes that clear here in this story. That Satan's the author of it, but he said to this woman, Jesus, you are loosed from thine infirmity. In other words, I am releasing you from your confinements. I am removing your restraints, and I am going to set you free from everything that binds you. Does that sound like anything you might be interested in? Praise God. Amen. So then he goes on, the story goes on to say that he laid his hands on her and immediately. Now, immediately and suddenly, I believe, would be about the same thing, wouldn't you? So she not only had a great breaking loose, she also had a suddenly. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm believing for a great breaking loose and a suddenly. And lift your hands and thank God for it. Praise God. Amen, because thanksgiving and praise is one of the greatest expressions of faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I've used this illustration many times, and I believe I'll just go ahead and use it again. You know, if I was to go up and preach for Brother Bill Winston, and I've been in his church before, and before I left, Brother Bill said, this is just an illustration, Bill, no obligation whatsoever. And Brother Bill said, Jerry, before you leave town, I'd like to buy you a new suit. Well, the first thing I'd do is reach out and say, Bill, that's very kind of you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And I hadn't even seen the suit yet. I'm thanking him in advance. Why? Because, first of all, I believe he's a man of integrity. He'll back what he says. Secondly, he wouldn't have said it if he didn't have the resources to do it. Now, what would you think of me if I said, well, Bill, if you don't mind, I'll save the thank you till I see it. That's rude. And he has a right to say, go home. Your mama needs to learn you some more manners. That's real Southern right there, what I just said, okay? But you're just as country as I am. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? No, that's not right. Well, God, as soon as I see it, then I'm going to praise you for it. That's rude.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about someone, the Bible says, impossible to lie. So we're talking about integrity here. And obviously, he's got the resources. Amen. So if he says, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you ought to be jumping up and shouting in advance, not waiting until you see something. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, he said, or the Bible says, he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And then it goes on to say that the religious people got a little upset about him doing this on the wrong day. And then he says in verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? I think it's interesting that he didn't have to say, seeing she is the daughter of Abraham, but he did. And I think that's very interesting because it denotes covenant. What's he saying? This is a covenant woman. Ought not this covenant woman be loosed from this infirmity, from this bondage? Shouldn't she be released from this since it was Satan who put it on her? She's a covenant woman. In other words, covenant people have every right to be free from restraints, from confinements, or anything else that might bind them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm a covenant person. And since I am, then I have every right to be free, to be loosed from every confinement, every restraint, and anything that binds. That's my covenant right. And thank God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, also, we read from Psalm 103, and I won't take the time to go back there. But Psalm 103, and the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Or you could say, covenant blessings. In fact, the Message translation says, don't forget a single blessing. Don't forget a single blessing. So that tells me that covenant people have benefits, have blessings that they are entitled to, not based on what we've done, but based entirely upon what Jesus has done. On the other hand, though, we must receive them.
Yes.
Amen. Even though they're already available, Jesus has already provided for them, I still have to receive them. They're not just going to come on me. I have to receive them. Remember the illustration Creflo gave the other night about with the people that he had the $100, and he was the provider. He had the $100, but you notice that no one benefited from it until someone decided to receive it. He could have walked out of here with those three $100 bills. And they were available to those three people, and they could have walked out of here $100 less than what they were. Amen? Somebody had to receive what was available. The blessings of God are available. Amen. God's not having to create things for you. They've already been created. The Bible says they are ready and waiting for you. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. The Amplified says, not only prepared, but made and keeps ready.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
There are blessings that God has kept ready for you, but you have to receive them. They're not just going to fall on you like ripe apples off of a tree.
That's right.
Amen. Somebody say, I'm a receiver.
I'm a receiver.
So notice here once again, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed? So he's saying that covenant people are entitled to certain benefits and blessings. And the Bible tells us, and don't forget a single one. Now, obviously, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's a great list of blessings that we're entitled to. They're referred to as the blessings of Abraham. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, as you well know, that if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, those first 13 verses, all those blessings belong to you just as much as they belong to Abraham.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And once again, don't forget a single one. Don't leave one of them out. They're all yours. You don't have to select which ones you would like. They're all yours. Can you say amen? I remember about 1970s, somewhere along in there, Brother Copeland was preaching at Grace Temple here in Fort Worth, Pastor Harold Nichols. Carol and I heard he was going to be in that meeting, so we came over to be in the meeting. And we were, like Charles Capp said, at that time we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. Charles said he was supernaturally in debt. You couldn't get in debt like that naturally, you know. And we didn't have any money. And we drove over in this car that was on its last legs. Believe God, it'd get over here. And we got over here, and Brother Copeland's going to be preaching for a couple of days at Brother Nichols' church. So we didn't have money for a hotel, motel. You know, we didn't have money to go out and eat. But we were desperate for the Word of God. We were going to get in the Word, whatever it took. How many know what it means to be desperate? Oh, there's a lot of you like that in here. You were so desperate, you would do anything to get in this meeting. Well, that's the way Carol and I were, and we still are, praise God. And so we came over and got in that first service, morning service. And after the service, we're just kind of standing around, and you know, people are talking about where they're going to eat. And so we were going to go back to our car. We had some peanut butter sandwiches in there waiting on us and some crackers and some juice or something. Our girls were real young, you know. And so we're just going to go back to the car and wait for the afternoon service. And so Brother Copeland saw me and he said, "Well, Jerry, glad you and Carolyn and the kids are here. What are you doing for lunch?" I said, "Well, we're just going to go out to the car, and we've got some things to eat out there, and then we're going to come right back in for the afternoon service." He said, "No, won't you go with Gloria and I? We're going to go over to El Chico's over here on Berry Street." Now, he hadn't said yet if he's paying or not. Because if I got to buy my own, somebody going to wash dishes. And he said, "Come on, I'm buying." I said, "That's God. Hallelujah. Let's go, Carolyn." So we go over there and we have a wonderful meal with them. And then we go back to the afternoon service. Brother Copeland preached and we had a great time, you know. And so afterwards he said, "Where are you guys staying?" I said, "Well, we're just going to stay out in the car until the evening service." "Oh, no, don't do that. Come on home with us." I said, "Say what? Come on home with us." Now, Brother Copeland in my sight was Moses. I'm going home with Moses, you know, or Elijah, or somebody big in the Bible, you know. Go home with you? Yeah, come on home with us. And you can just hang out there, and then we'll go to the evening service. So we followed them home. And so he showed us around, and here's the kitchen if you want anything to eat. You know, here's the den. Just make yourself comfortable there. And Jerry, here's my study. Here's my desk. If you want to sit there and read or study or whatever, just make yourself at home. He said, "Now I'm going to go in the bedroom and prepare for the evening service. So forgive me for not being able to, you know, hang out with you while you're here. But I got to go get ready for the service." I said, "I understand." And so Carolyn went and took the girls in the living room, I think, and they may have fallen asleep, the girls. And I went and sat at Brother Copeland's desk. And he had this big Bible there with all these notes written in the margin. I'm reading those notes. Dear God. I thought, man. I flipped the page and I remembered what page he had it open to, so I could go back there, you know. So I'm flipping the page to see if there's more notes. Sure enough, man, there's notes all over this Bible. You know, and I thought, wow, I'm looking at Kenneth Copeland's personal handwritten notes. You know. Well, in a little while, he came in there. And he said, "I was praying." And he said, "Normally I don't do this, but the Lord told me to spend a little time with you before I go get prepared for the service." He said, "There's some questions that you've been wanting to ask. So what are they? I thought, well, we don't have time for you to go study if I ask all my questions. And he said, well, what is it that's really on your heart? And I said, well, I've been reading. Now, I'm real young in this, see? I said, I've been reading about these gifts of the Spirit. And I want to know how you get God to let you have some of those gifts. That's the way I said it. He said, well, actually, those gifts are not for you. They're for the person that needs it, but God will use you to get it to them. They'll flow through you. I thought, why didn't I think of that? And then I said, but I want this best gift. The Bible says, covet earnestly the best gift. I want that best gift. He said, well, what is the best gift? I said, I don't know. That's the reason I'm asking you. He said, the best gift is the one you need at the time. If someone needs a miracle, you don't need to prophesy over them. If someone needs a word of knowledge, you don't need to be casting out a devil. Well, some people you do, but most of the time, you know. And he said, the best gift is the one that's needed at the time. And I thought, wow, this is great. Praise God. I'm getting my own personal Bible study. And the point was, I had to receive it by faith. Amen. Those gifts, the Bible says, are given to every man. Amen. They're available to each and every one of us. But you got to position yourself to receive them. And it's the same way with the blessings. They're there. God's not having to create money. God's not having to create anything that you need. He says that the blessings belong to you, but you have to receive them. Can you say amen? And I believe where we're at right now is there is, because of where we are in time, God's wrapping things up. We are in the end times. And there are things that have got to happen before the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I believe it's part of this great breaking loose that we've entered into. And there are blessings that belong to us that we have not laid our hands on, have not enjoyed, and they belong to us, and they've been waiting on us. God's had them ready. And it's like Brother Copeland told me the other day. He said, I don't want to get to heaven and find out there's a whole bunch of stuff on the table that I didn't take while I was in the earth. I want to go up there and my table's empty because I used it all while I was in the earth. Amen. You have to receive it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a receiver. So, he's saying to her, woman, there is a covenant blessing that belongs to you, and I am loosing that blessing in your life today. And what was it? A miracle. A normal life. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about God's normal. What is normal to God? It's not the same as what's normal to the world. Amen. And so he's saying to her, I'm not only going to remove the restraint and the confinement that you've been under for the last 18 years, but I'm going to loose a covenant blessing in your life.
Yes.
And from this day forward, your life will never be the same. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you would like for God to loose some covenant blessings on you tonight? Hallelujah. Well, you got to receive them. So say right now, I receive them by faith. Now, let me give you some other definitions of breaking loose. It can be used in a twofold way. Breaking loose means to unleash, to release, to unblock, to remove, I love this, to remove all obstruction, whereas to create a free flow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like that.
Yep.
To remove all obstruction, whereas to create a free flow. God wants the blessings flowing in our lives freely without any obstructions.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So to break loose is to unleash, to release, to unblock, to remove all obstruction, whereas to create a free flow. God wants all of His blessings to break loose in our lives and to flow freely. I mentioned Paul said in the book of Romans, the fullness of the blessing.
Yes, sir.
The fullness of the blessing.
Amen.
The blessing without any restraints. Even though we may have not reached that level yet, but that doesn't mean it's not available. Hey, I'm living at a level now that I didn't know was available 40 years ago. But I'm living in it now. What do you suppose the next level is? Huh? Kathy and Jesse are extremely blessed people. But there's got to be more. What's the next level, Jesse? Hallelujah. The Copelands are extremely blessed. And I've had the privilege of watching all this happen in their lives for 47 years. When I first moved here, they had an office that wasn't as big as this platform. About half the size of that platform. My part of that office was the hallway. That's right. The hallway. I had to leave my office if anybody had to go to the bathroom. Because you had to go down the hallway to get to the bathroom. You know? And now, I go out to the KCM headquarters. If you hadn't been out there, you ought to take a tour. It's faith inspiring. You know, and you see what God has done. And you see how that it's from faith to faith and from glory to glory and from blessing to blessing. Hallelujah. And there's no end to it. Praise God. What do you suppose we'll be talking about what God has done this time next year? Hallelujah. Amen. Breaking loose of covenant blessings. Say, covenant blessings are breaking loose in my life. There's a phrase in Ezekiel 34:26 that I really like. It talks about showers of blessing. Showers. This implies a liberal distribution of His blessings. It also implies plenteous with no restraints. Hallelujah. Amen. The last few weeks, in various meetings I've been in, and even this afternoon, I heard the same thing. To tell God's people that extraordinary breakthroughs belong to them and they're headed their way.
Amen.
Extraordinary breakthroughs belong to you and they're headed your way, praise God. How many of you need some breakthroughs in your life tonight? Hallelujah. I love, you know, next to my Bible, my Noah Webster 1828 edition dictionary is my favorite book. And the reason I love that dictionary is because it not only gives definitions, but it also gives scripture references. And I looked up the word extraordinary, and it means beyond the usual or the norm. Some breakthroughs are headed your way that are beyond the usual or the norm. Exceptional, remarkable, and I like this one, over the top.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Over the top. You know, I mentioned this, but I didn't give you a lot of the detail, but I want to mention it again. March of last year, the Lord really got on me for not exercising my faith for my next airplane. And I had sewn my other airplane, actually into KCM. And after I did, I just really didn't get on my faith for another one like I had all the previous years. And so I'm up in Baltimore preaching, a March a year ago. And I came in from the meeting to the hotel there where I was staying, and I was getting ready to bed. Go to bed, and the Lord said, do you remember what I told you in 1969 about aviation in your ministry? I said, yes, sir. He said, what did I say? I said, you told me that I would not be able to fulfill what I'm called to do without airplanes in my ministry. He said, well, are you done? I said, done with what? He said, ministry. You through? I said, no, sir. He said, then what makes you think you can fulfill what I've called you to do without airplanes now? He said, whose idea was that? I said, apparently mine. He said, then why aren't you on your faith for your next one? I didn't even bother trying to explain because I knew I'd already lost this argument. I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, then I consider me on my faith for my next airplane right now. And as soon as I got home, I shared with Carolyn what the Lord said. So we both just immediately just began to sow seed and do what we'd done to all the previous airplanes that have come into this ministry. God had, over the last 45 years, blessed us with 9 different airplanes, debt-free, praise God. And so I said, okay, here we go. Well, I got to thinking about, you know, what kind of airplane I wanted. And there was one particular airplane I'd looked at one time, and I liked it. And so I thought, well, just to target my faith, so I'll have something to target my faith with, I'll just believe for that one. And so I went out and had a picture of it made, and I put it in the front of my Bible here because I like visuals. And I even, our publication department even took a picture of me and had me out walking away from it. I look like James Bond there. Hallelujah. Jerry's the name. Savelle. And so I kept that around in my Bible everywhere I went. And I'd look at it often. Had a picture of it put on my desk, you know, and at home. So I stay focused, single-minded. Now, that was March a year ago. And then this February, just this past February, Brother Copeland and I were preaching over in Corsicana, Texas. And Brother Copeland preached Saturday night, and I was to preach the next morning. And so I'm preaching on this great breaking loose, because that was my assignment. And I got ready to leave the hotel that morning to go to this service, and the word of the Lord came to me. I believe one of the guys that was with me already had my Bible and notebook and briefcase. So I noticed a little notepad on the desk there in the motel. So I just stopped and I began to write this word from the Lord. And one of the things he said in that word was, I am accelerating things. I'm in a hurry to fulfill the things that I promised you. And he wasn't talking to me only, talking to the body of Christ. But he said, I'm in a hurry. I'd never heard the Lord say that to me before. He said, I'm accelerating things, and I'm in a hurry to fulfill the things that I've promised you. And so I went over to the service, and I preached on breaking loose, and I shared that word with them. Now, that was February the 28th, 2016. February the 29th, I received a phone call, and I was blessed with my airplane that was far bigger, far better, faster than the one I was believing for, paid for, praise God. Amen. God said, I'm the God that does exceeding abundant above all you ask or think. So I had a plaque made that I put in it, and I call that airplane above and beyond. Hallelujah. Above and beyond. Now, here's the neat part. We're talking about extraordinary breakthroughs, beyond the norm, exceptional. And before the airplane manifested, one of my partners in another nation, I mean, shortly after Carol and I set ourselves in agreement with this airplane, that was in March of 2015, shortly after that, I mean, just weeks after it, I don't think anybody but my staff even knew at this point. And one of my partners from Australia said the Lord told him to send us $500,000 for an airplane. So we had $500,000 in the bank for an airplane before the airplane manifested. And then other people just picked up on it and started sending. And the next thing you know, you got another $100,000. And you know, and money is in the bank to pay cash for an airplane. But God gives me the airplane and the cash and the cash. Now, out of all the previous airplanes he's ever blessed me with, I never had money in the bank in advance to operate them and to maintain them and to upgrade them.
Hallelujah.
Had to believe that as I went.
Yeah.
Believe for that as I went.
I understand.
Hallelujah. But I had the money in the bank.
Glory.
I call that extraordinary breakthrough.
Amen.
Beyond the norm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you are believing for breakthroughs tonight?
Yeah.
Well, how about some extraordinary breakthroughs?
Yeah.
Beyond the norm.
Yeah.
You missed a big chance to shout, I receive that.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Now, let me read something to you here. Breakthroughs for God's people is nothing new. God's been doing this forever, for centuries. In fact, Job chapter 5 and verse 9, the Message translation says, He's famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to His surprises. I love that. God is famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to His surprises. Anybody like surprises? God's constantly surprising me. It doesn't surprise me that He meets my need. And it doesn't surprise me that His favor manifests in my life all the time. It doesn't surprise me that His blessings flow in my life. What does surprise me is how He goes about doing it. Amen. How He goes about doing it. The method or the person that He might use. Amen. You know, I've had God to bless my ministry through certain individuals that in the natural didn't look like they had two quarters to rub together. And said, the Lord told me to sow this into your ministry and be a check for $100,000. I thought, dear Jesus. In the natural, where did they get $100,000?
Yes.
Huh? But then on the other hand, I was invited to Orlando, Florida one time. And I was told, today at lunch you're going to be preaching to about 25 billionaires. I'd never preached to 25 billionaires. And after I got through, the MC received an offering, and it was $250. $250. That's where you can't get your eyes on people. I left there and went to a little church of about 70 people, and they blessed me with $75,000. You can't get your eyes on people. And when this little church, Jesse, gave me that check for $75,000, I heard God say, surprise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God is famous for unexpected acts, and there is no end to His surprises. So I want to challenge you tonight to believe for some great breaking loose to take place in your life. And for extraordinary breakthroughs. Things in which God is making a way for you in a manner like you have never seen Him do it quite that way before.
Come on.
Don't put God in a box.
Yeah.
Amen. I've noticed that many times, well, in fact, every time I look in the Bible, where there is a major breakthrough that occurs, what God told the people to do before the breakthrough came was extremely unusual. It seems like extremely unusual instructions produce extraordinary breakthroughs. Amen. I remember you've heard the story about my daughter Terry. Terry, wave your hand there. How her two fingers were cut off during one of Brother Copeland's meetings at Life Tabernacle when we were still living there, and Terry was in the nursery. Terry and Jerry were in the nursery, and The nursery attendant rocked over her fingers and cut two of them off right behind the nails. And when we went to the doctor, he said it was impossible for them to ever be normal again. He got the nerve, got the nail root, and he pitched those little fingertips in the trash and told me that, you know, she'll never have normal fingers. They'll just be little nubs. But boy, we'd been sitting in a meeting with Brother Copeland for a week. And he'd been preaching from Mark chapter 4. Once the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. And he's teaching us how to keep the devil from stealing the word. And boy, we were, our faith was higher than a Georgia pine tree. And so when this happened, you know, we took it to the doctor and he told us impossible. He said, all I can do is take do a skin graft, take some skin from her hip, cover them up. They'll never have nails, never be normal, be little nubs. And I wouldn't receive that. I wouldn't receive it. I said, sir, I understand you're an expert in your field, and I understand this is all medical science can do, but I don't receive that. My God will restore my baby's fingers. Now, he served Buddha. He had Buddha statues in his office. And he kept saying, this is impossible. I said, yes, it is with medical science, and it is with your God, but not with my God. My God is El Shaddai, the God in whom nothing is impossible. So he goes over to my wife, Carolyn, and says, your husband is in shock. And I realize this is a very traumatic experience. You're a young couple. This is your baby. And he said, it's impossible. She said, no, sir. Our God will restore our baby's fingers. Okay. So we told him, go on and do the skin graft. God will take care of the rest. And so he did. And he kept her overnight. Carolyn stayed there at the hospital with her. And I said, Brother Copeland's got one more service tonight. I'm going to go and hear what he says. And as soon as it's over, I'll come right back to the hospital, preach it to you word for word. So both of us, our faith will be on the same level. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So I did. Whatever Brother Copeland preached that night, I preached it to Carolyn. Next morning, we took her home. And anyway, over a period of 6 weeks, we're confessing the word over her. We refuse to let any doubt and unbelief in our home. There were some Christians, they meant well, and they'd come over and say, we don't know why God cut your baby's fingers off. And I'd say, there's the door. God didn't cut my baby's fingers off. You're going to talk like that? You can leave now. We're not tolerating that. Oh, I made some people mad, but I didn't care at the moment because I'm believing for a miracle.
That's right.
We can apologize later, you know. But right now, I don't want that unbelief in there. Jesus did that. He ran all the people out of Jairus' house. Don't you know they were mad at him? Grandma, Grandpa, all the relatives in there crying and screaming and all that. And Jesus said, get them out here. Well, we wouldn't let any unbelief. We didn't turn a television set on. We didn't pick up a newspaper. We didn't talk anything but faith for 6 weeks there. Because we're believing God for a miracle. Now, the day before we were to take her back, we got a little card in the mail with an invitation to come hear Kenneth Hagin in Tyler, Texas. Now, we'd never been in a Kenneth Hagin meeting. I wouldn't have known what Kenneth Hagin looked like. But I'd heard Brother Copeland mention him so many times in his sermons, I told Carolyn. Now, we weren't on his mailing list, so I don't know to this day how we got that little card. And I told Carolyn, we need to be in that meeting. If Brother Copeland listens to this man, we need to listen to this man. So we're going to Tyler tonight. Only problem was, the engine in my car had blown up. I don't have wheels. I don't have any way to get there. But I knew I was supposed to be in that meeting. So I said, God, I want to be in that meeting, and I believe you want me in that meeting. And here's what he told me to do. He said, get dressed, get your Bible, and act as though you're going. And you know how long it takes to get to Tyler. It's about 100 miles. He said, you know how long it takes to get to Tyler. You be ready to go in advance so that you will leave on time and get there on time. I said, Lord, we don't have wheels. He said, get dressed, get your Bible, and act like you're going to Tyler. Faith without corresponding actions is void of power. So I said, Carolyn, get on your best duds. Carolyn put on her cut-down maternity dress. I put on whatever I had, the best I had. We grabbed our Bibles. She dressed our babies. And we sat in our living room with our Bibles under our arms and ready to go. Unusual instructions. A little while, the phone rang. I answered the phone. It was a young lady who was coming to our Bible studies on Monday night. We were having Bible studies. What I started out doing, I played Brother Copeland's tape. And when he got through, then I'd pray for people. And then eventually I started sharing myself. And she came to our Monday night Bible study. She said, Jerry, I'm in the process of buying a car. And it's not a brand new car, but it's a nice used car. And the man told me that I would be allowed to drive it and to see if it's what I wanted. And she said, did you know Kenneth Hagin's in Tyler tonight? I said, yes. She said, well, you know, why don't we all go over there and you will drive this car and you can help me determine if it's what you think I ought to have. She said, I'll come over and pick you guys up and you drive this car. I said, that's God. Come on. So she came over and we got in this car and we drove over. And all the way over there, we're confessing that we're going to have a front row seat. I not only want to hear what the man says, I want to look him eyeball to eyeball. If he's made this big of an impression on Kenneth Copeland, I want to see what this man's like. And so we're confessing all the way over there, front row seat. We get over there and there's a little hotel ballroom seated about 100 people. And the place was packed. And the man came out to the door and said, folks, I'm sorry, we don't have any place else to put anybody. We don't have any more chairs. We just looked at each other. We didn't say anything negative because we'd been saying we're going to have front row seats. We just kind of looked at each other and just smiled. And a little while, another man come back. Now, there's three of us. And another man came back and he said, hey, I found three more chairs. He said, where are you going to put them? He said, well, the only place to put them is in front of the front row. So we got front of the front row. Hallelujah. Folks, these things are not coincidence. And then we got in there and we're on the front of the front row. Now, there was a man up talking, and I thought it was Kenneth Hagin. I assumed it was Kenneth Hagin. Turned out to be Buddy Harrison, his son-in-law. Then he introduced Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin came, and he preached on the scripture he wrote, Mark 11:23. Oh, I'm telling you, when Brother Hagin got through preaching on Mark 11:23, we didn't even need a car to get home. I'm telling you, Carol and I looked at each other, and we said, we've been doing for 6 weeks what that man just preached. We know we've got our breakthrough. We took her to the doctor the next morning. He cut those bandages off. He screamed, my God. I said, what is it, doc? He said, look, the nails were back. The fingers were the right length. Totally restored. Hallelujah. I looked at him and I said, no, sir, not your God. My God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice these unusual instructions. Get dressed. Go sit in your living room. Have your Bible and your notebook. Don't have to go look for it later. And get ready to go. And told us to do it in advance of how long it would take us to get there. Unusual instructions. Extraordinary breakthrough. And that's all over the Bible. In fact, Naaman is a good example. Naaman the leper. He heard there was a prophet that could cleanse him of his leprosy. So he makes this long journey to see this prophet because he wants a breakthrough. When he gets there, the prophet won't even come out to see him. He sends his servant. with a message. Unusual instructions. Told him to go dip in the river. How many times? Seven times. Go dip in the river seven times. And it made Naaman so mad. Because the prophet wouldn't even come out to greet him. And then he gives him these ridiculous instructions. Go dip in the river seven times. And he made him so mad, he left. He almost missed his breakthrough. But then the servant went after him, convinced him, and he did what the prophet said to do, and he had an extraordinary breakthrough. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Notice, unusual instructions produced an extraordinary breakthrough. Something out of the norm. What about the time when the prophet was told by God, I'll take care of you. I'll supply the food you need. Go down to the brook Cherith, and the ravens will sustain thee. How many of you would have done that? Those are strange instructions. Go down to the brook, and birds are going to bring you food. Now, you could get kicked out of a good church for believing stuff like that. Amen? There's a lot of denominations would not give you papers for preaching things like that. Huh? Go down to the brook, and the birds are going to take care of you. Unusual instructions. But he did. And sure enough, the birds took care of him, brought him food. And then when the brook dried up, he told him to go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there. And listen to what God says. I have commanded her to sustain thee. But when he gets there, the woman says, I got just enough for me and my son. We're going to eat this and die. Wouldn't that make you think? It's something them birds brought me. It's causing me to hallucinate. He told me there was a woman down here going to take care of me, and she's ready to die. She's got just enough for her and her son, and they're going to die. Some unusual instructions. But you know the results. Not only that, but she needed a breakthrough. And what he told her to do was extremely unreasonable, extremely unusual, but it produced an extraordinary breakthrough in her life.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I've noticed that it seems to be that way when I'm believing for extraordinary breakthroughs. My instructions are always unusual. Amen. Unusual. Charles Capps. I met Charles when Charles was still farming full time and just beginning his teaching ministry. And we became close friends, and he and I used to preach in a lot of the small Assembly of God churches all over Arkansas. And so I'm doing a meeting out in West Texas, in Odessa. And it's going to be my first prosperity seminar. And I'd rented this new hotel they just built there, rented the ballroom. And I invited Charles to come with me and to be one of my speakers. He and I were going to do the meeting together. So Charles called me and he said, Jerry, I bought a piece of property out in Odessa a few years ago as an investment. And he said, and I feel like it's time for me to sell it, or I've been trying to sell it. And he said, I have had no offers. Nobody's even looked at it. But I believe God had me to buy that, and I believe he's going to bless me with it. He said, could we go a day early? I'll come pick you up, and we fly out there, and you and I, now listen to these instructions. He said, here's what the Lord told me to do. He said, you and I are going to walk that piece of property. Now, this is West Texas, so there's no trees, just flat. Maybe some shrub, mesquite bushes. Big Spring's looking at me right here. You know. And he said, the Lord told me that you and I are going to go out there on that property, and we're going to pick up dirt off that property. And we're going to pitch it in the air and talk to it. We're going to pick up dirt. We're going to throw it up in the air. And we're going to say, you're beautiful dirt. There's somebody that loves you. Somebody is looking for you. Somebody's going to buy you. I said, we're going to walk through this field, pick up dirt, throw it in the air and talk to it. Yeah. Are you with me? I said, yeah, I guess so. So we fly out there a day early and we get out on this piece of property and it's right off the interstate. So people can see you out there. It wasn't on a back road somewhere where nobody will see us. It's the interstate going to El Paso. And so we get out of the car and he said, all right, I'm gonna start on that end. You start on this end. We'll meet in the middle. Then we'll go to that end and meet in the middle. And you just pick up dirt, throw it in the air and talk to it. Okay, Charles. So I start out now, and Charles walked way down there to the other end. I could see him pitching dirt and talking to it. So I pitched dirt and I talked to it. You're beautiful dirt. Somebody loves this dirt. Somebody looking for this dirt. I want to make sure Charles still doing it. You know? And he was. And we did that I don't know how long. I mean, seemed like a couple of hours we're out there pitching dirt and talking to it. So he said, okay, that does it. We've done what God said. It's going to sell now. I'm saying it. It's going to sell. You know, Charles became famous for teaching on the power of words. And so he said, it'll sell now. We've done what God said. So we went to the hotel and the next morning. We're going to start my prosperity seminar. So I'm up first. And we've got this ballroom in this end of the Old West, I believe it was called. And I'm teaching along here and all of a sudden, there's a man comes through the back door in bib overalls, straw hat, and I'd seen him one other time. And his name was Oop. And the last time I'd seen Oop, he told me he don't go nowhere, he don't do nothing unless God tells him. And when I saw him walk in that door, I thought, God been talking to Oop. Now, Charles don't know Oop, and Oop don't know Charles. This is 1974. And so, Oop just comes right down the aisle there, takes his straw hat off, and Charles is sitting on the front row, just like Gary here, and I'm watching all this. Charles don't even know he's in the building yet. I'm watching all this, and I know Oop, and I know he hears from God. He wouldn't be there if he didn't. And he walks up to Charles, puts his hand on his shoulder and says, my name's Oop. Charles looked up at him, looked back at me. I said, pay attention, Charles. My name's Oop. I was out on my tractor. Same thing he told me the first time I met him. I was out on my tractor plowing my field. God spoke to me. I don't get off my tractor till God speaks. I don't go to bed till God speaks. I get up when God tells me. I wouldn't be here right now if God hadn't told me. Charles looked at me. I said, pay attention, Charles. I was out riding my tractor and God told me there's a man up here at the end of the Golden West, got a piece of property up here he's trying to sell, and he needs it cleared. And I heard you say that if you had this property cleared off, somebody'd buy it immediately. Did you say that? Yes. Charles said, yes, I said that. Charles had told me that. He said, well, I was out riding my tractor. I said, oop, we got that part. He said, I was riding my tractor and God told me that I'm supposed to come up here and there's a man I'm supposed to clear his property off. Not going to charge you a dime. When you want me to start? Charles said, right now. He went and cleared the property. In a matter of days, the property sold. Amen. Unusual instructions, but extraordinary breakthrough. Hallelujah. Unusual instructions, but extraordinary breakthrough. Amen. I was, when I was just starting out good after leaving Brother Copeland's organization, this is 1976, so I'd been out there on my own for a couple of years now, and a young man by the name of Russ Taff, anybody remember Russ Taff? Russ Taff came to work with me. Russ was maybe 19 years old then. And Russ came to work with me, and back then I hadn't received my first airplane yet. So he and I were driving all over the country in a GMC van with my sound system and all of my equipment and everything, you know. And I'd preach and Russ would sing. And so Russ didn't know anything about the Word of Faith. I'm teaching him as we're traveling, you know. So we're driving to Illinois. And I'm going to do a three-day meeting in Illinois, three services a day. So we're on our way up there, and the Lord said this to me. He said, I don't want you to receive one offering during this meeting. I said out loud, why would I not want to do that? He said, because I'm going to teach you that I'm your source, and I can meet your need other than an offering from a meeting. So I turned and told Russ. I said, Russ, we're not receiving one offering in this meeting. And I could read his mind like Brother Copeland used to read mine. How are we going to get paid? You know. I said, we're not receiving one offering in this meeting. I'm going to go up there and the Lord's going to show us that he can supply our need without us having to receive an offering in a meeting. And Russ never heard anything like that in his life. So we got up there and I preached my first service. I said, everybody come back at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll have another service. 7 o'clock tonight, same schedule for the next 2 days. Dismissed the service. Didn't even say anything about an offering. Dismissed the service. Came back that afternoon, preached to them, and told them to be back tonight. Never even mentioned an offering. Didn't receive an offering. That night, after I got through preaching, ministering to people, never received an offering. And somebody come up and said, Brother Jerry, this is the third meeting, and you haven't received an offering yet. I said, well, the Lord told me not to. Well, why not? I said, well, he's going to show me that he can supply my needs without me having to receive an offering in the meeting. Now, I was hoping this was a one-time event, you know, but anyway, God was teaching me that he is unlimited in how he can meet all my needs. So I've got some unusual instructions going here. Would you agree? How many of you are in the ministry? Don't you receive offerings in your services? So these are some unusual instructions. So I did that for 3 days and did not receive one offering. And the last night, the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen in that city asked me if I would consider staying over the next night and doing their monthly banquet for them. Well, I really didn't have to be anywhere in a you know, immediately. So I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. He said, now, Brother Jerry, I can't promise you $20. He said, in fact, our chapter's in the red right now. And said, we normally only have about 20 people show up, but I can't promise you $20. And the Lord said, tell him you're not receiving an offering. I said, Lord, that was for my meeting. He said, this one too. I said, that's fine. I'm not receiving offerings while I'm here. Really? No, I'm not receiving offerings. And the Lord said, and tell him, you'll pay for everybody's meal. I said, and I'm going to pay for everybody's meal. He said, and tell him you'll receive an offering, but you're going to put it in the Full Gospel Businessmen to get them out of the red. I said, now I'm going to receive an offering, but I'm going to put it in the Full Gospel Businessmen. He said, wow, we've never had anybody do that before. I said, I've never done it before either. So now I'm gone 3 days, no offerings. Now I'm going to preach at the Full Gospel Businessmen, and I'm going to pay for the meals at the banquet. But he already told me only 20 people show up. 200 showed up. 200 people showed up. It was so crowded, they were at my feet. I couldn't even move. I had to preach like this. I couldn't move. And at about $15 a head, you do the math. So I paid for I paid that cafeteria where they had the meeting. I paid them for that. Now, I don't want you to get the idea. I just had tons of money in the bank. I'm spending the last dimes of Jerry Savelle Evangelistic Association. You know? And then I received an offering, and it was the best offering they'd ever received, and it got them in the black, praise God. And the next morning I said, okay, Russ, let's go home. So we got in the van, and we're headed home. And Russ is real quiet. I said, Russ, just think. We are on the verge of a major miracle. You just watch. God's going to do something out of the ordinary because he gave us some very unusual instructions. Something extraordinary is about to happen. Well, he's kind of like me in the early days of Brother Copeland. You know, Brother Copeland makes statements of faith like that. And I said, You know, I wanted him to know I was in agreement, but just barely. And so Russ is about that way. So we're coming down through Arkansas. And at the state line, which you know, Tracy, and you know, there's an El Chico's right there on the Texas-Arkansas border. I'd eaten there many times before. So I said, Russ, let's stop at the El Chico's, and we're going to eat there, and then we'll go on home. So we pulled into El Chico's, and there was maybe two other couples in there. It was past lunchtime, and so there's only a couple, two other tables occupied. And I noticed one of them was an elderly couple. And they set us down, and they gave us the menu, and we started placing our order. In a little while, the elderly couple came up to me and said, are you Jerry Savelle? I said, yes, I am. Now, you got to remember, this is when only 12 people knew who I was. And four of them belonged to me. And so anyway, are you Jerry Savelle? I said, yes, I am. They said, do you remember preaching in Benton, Arkansas last year? I said, oh, yeah. I mean, I'll never forget that. They didn't have a building for us, so I preached on someone's front porch. And people brought lawn chairs out in the front yard. And I preached from the front porch every night with people sitting in lawn chairs. They said, we were in that meeting, and it changed our lives. Said, we never heard the Word of God preached like that. And said, we were sitting over there and got to talking about that meeting, reminiscing and talking about the change that took place in our lives. It just dawned on me. I called them an elderly couple, and they were younger than I am now. But anyway. And so, anyway, they came over to the table, and they said, we were sitting over there talking about that meeting, and my wife said, you know, we've never sent that young man an offering. And what he preached changed our life. She said, you know, you just finished a job and got a pretty good commission on it. Why don't we send him the tithe? He said, that's a great idea. Now, they're telling us all this. And said, and so we wrote out the check, and we were going to the post office to mail it, and looked up, and there you came walking through the door. And he said, here was these words. He handed me a check, and he said, you just saved me a stamp. I said, well, I'm glad I could help you out there. And they had the check folded, so I just put it in my hand and prayed with them, and they left. And Russ is sitting over there. You know, his eyes are bright, you know. And inquiring minds want to know. When I opened that check, it was more than enough to take care of that entire meeting, pay for all that banquet, and plenty left over, praise God. One person in an El Chico's in Texarkana, Arkansas. Unusual instructions produced an extraordinary breakthrough. And it seems to me that that's not only a pattern in the Bible, but it's certainly been a pattern with the way God has worked in my life. Can you say amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Unusual instructions producing extraordinary breakthroughs. I think one of the most extraordinary ones is with Isaac in Genesis 26, when there's a famine in the land, and yet God's unusual instructions to him was, stay here. Do not go to Egypt. You stay right here. I will be with you. I will bless you. And the Bible says Isaac sowed in that land and reaped a hundredfold in the same year. Amen. Unusual instructions, but extraordinary results. Let me give you one more personal testimony. Or maybe two. And I was home from some meetings and I was in my office. And I'd walked from the executive building over to the administrative building. And when I walked in, my accountant was walking down the hall and said, "Oh, Brother Jerry, I'm glad you're here. I was headed to your office." She said, "I thought you'd be interested in this." And she held up a check, and it was from someone for $100,000. And I looked at who it was, and I said, "Give me the check." And I prayed over it and praised God for it, and we rejoiced over it. And then I turned to her, and I said, "Now you know what to do." Because, see, the norm is we tithe off of all our income. So she knew to put $10,000 in the tithe account and then put the rest in general. So I said, "You know what to do." She said, "Yes, I'll have it in the tithe account today. Do you know who you want me to send it to?" I said, "Well, I'll pray and I'll let you know before the day's up who to send that $10,000 to." She said, "Okay." And so I walked down the hall, walked out of the administrative building, was headed over to the executive office, back to my office. And the Lord said, "How would you like some extraordinary results?" I said, "You know I would." He said, "Then how about sowing the entire 100,000? I said, "Yes, sir." I walked back over there and I caught her before she got to her office. And I said, "Forget what I told you a few moments ago. Put the entire 100,000 in the tithe. We're going to sow it all." She said, "Okay," with a big smile. Thank God for people in the finance department of your ministry that don't argue with you. I had one that did one time. The Lord told me to sow my airplane into another minister. And he said, "You can't do that. We need that money. Sell it." I said, "I'm not only going to sow the airplane, I'm sowing you into somebody else's ministry. Don't tell me I can't do this. Come on outside. I'll show you whose name's on this building." Amen. But she didn't hesitate. "Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'll do." And she said, "You know who you want to send it to?" I said, "I'll pray and let you know." And the Lord told me who to send it to. And I did. And within 30 days, we received three $100,000 checks. That had never happened before. Not in 30 days. Three of them. Hallelujah. Unusual instructions produce some extraordinary results. Now, folks, it'd be one thing if I only gave you my personal testimonies, but when you see it all over the Bible, unusual instructions, extraordinary results. And here's the last one I'm going to tell you. The Lord impressed upon me to pay the mortgage off somebody's church. And so we did, and was happy. I think I was more happy in being able to do it than they were in having the mortgage paid off. I know they were happy, but boy, just being able to do it, that was a great blessing. And so we paid the mortgage off on their church, and it was quite a sum. And it's not the first time we'd done it, but this one in particular paid off the mortgage of this church. And within 3 months, I received, now I'd been confessing this for 40 years, that somebody, one day, somebody is going to sow $1 million check in our ministry all at one time. I've been confessing that for 40 years. We've had $100,000 checks and even larger than that, but never a $1 million check. And the Lord said, "Well, I was preaching there. You pay the mortgage off on this church." And we did. And just a short time later, I'll never forget when the person called and said, "Can you come to my office?" And I went there and they said, "Here." And I had pushed an envelope in front of me and said, "Go ahead and open it. I'd like to see the expression on your face." I opened it. It was a check for $1 million. Hallelujah. $1 million. I'd like to say the first of $1 million checks. Unusual instructions producing extraordinary results.
Amen.
Now, folks, we are in a time where things are going to break loose more rapidly, more quickly than we've ever experienced before. It's got to happen. Most of us have got too much seed out there to miss out on this harvest. I'm not letting go of my harvest. Are you, Jesse? I am not letting go of any of my harvest. The Bible says in Psalm 20 that God remembers your offerings. He said it to me like this: I never forget a seed sown. You might, but I don't. And all of us, most all of us in here got a lot of seed sown. Don't give up on that harvest. Don't give up on that harvest. Didn't Jesus say 100-fold in this time? I'm not going to need 100-fold in heaven. I need that 100-fold down here. Hallelujah. And I believe extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies. And there's some major breaking loose taking place. And I believe we're going to see some financial breakthroughs like we have never seen before. Extraordinary, where God does it in ways you've never seen Him do it quite that way before. You missed a good opportunity to shout, I receive that. Come on, shout, I receive that. Stand to your feet, if you will, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Unusual instructions producing extraordinary breakthroughs.